throughout the Guardians postseason run, we've had our next guest on, and we're going to continue to have him on as the Guardians soldier on, hopefully beyond the ALDS, nice. Maybe into the, see what I did there?
Yeah, nice.
Because that's exactly what I'm starting, by the way. You'll see in a moment. all throughout the Guardians run here, and we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. Brett Boone now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brett, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well,
just got off the flight. I'm running on empty.
Oh, man. Well, is this a... I'll save that. I have a question there, but because Peterlin and I were reading your Wikipedia in the break, and your Wikipedia says that you are a descendant of Daniel Boone. Is that a for sure thing? Do you have the 23andMe to prove it?
I think, you know, during my career and my family, for that matter's career, there was a lot of downtime. And when we were boring them, I think the media got curious. So they just started looking for sure. I've heard it. You know, my dad's heard it. He's the first one that told me, and he asked me about it. I said, I don't know, Dad. I've never checked into that. But when my time up in Seattle, some of the beat writers came to me one day and they said, you know, we did some digging and you're a direct descendant of Daniel Boone. And I said, really? They said, yeah, we did the research. So from what I'm told, yeah, we are. But I can't confirm it. I don't have the actual data in hand.
I think it's so much better that way. It's on other people to disprove it.
I like that. Yeah, they did the work.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I can just, you know, hey, yeah, it's a really cool thing. If it's true. I didn't say it was true, but yeah, you got other. So like I said, when baseball gets boring or I was in a slump, I think that was something for them to do on the side.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, your descendants founded Kentucky, which means Bengals fans thank you everywhere.
That's right. That's right. And I got to play in Cincinnati for a few years. Kentucky right over the river. So, yeah.
Brett, Was yesterday the Guardians' chance to steal the series?
No, I look at these series. They're all really interesting in their own way, you know. But for me, at this stage, I look at two teams that I think are the better team. I think Cleveland's a better team. I think they're going to win this series. But the whole X factor to me with this Detroit ball club, who, by the way, they played something ridiculous down the stretch. Like they went on a 31-11 run to just qualify for the postseason. That being said, I mean, they were hot going into the postseason. They played really well. I look at the game yesterday, and the X factor for me with that Detroit ball club is Skubal. So I figure when Skubal pitches, they're going to win. And they ended up pulling it out yesterday, dramatic home run against Class A. He hasn't given up too many of those. But Detroit wins the game, but they have to win when Skubal pitches. And the thing for Detroit is they've got to find a win in the next two games just to get them to game five because they can get Skubal back on the mound again. I think if Cleveland lets one get away of the next two, it's going to be a dogfight. But for me, Cleveland's a better ball club. I mean, they both have really good bullpens. Cleveland, in my opinion, is the superior. But Detroit's pretty good in their own right. But I just think the team, start to finish, everything, taking everything into consideration, I think the Guardians are a better team.
Yeah, so by that logic, though, so the Guardians have to win the next two, or you feel like the advantage goes heavily to Detroit?
Yeah, I really think they do. I think in both leagues, AL and NL, the one pitcher that stands above everybody else, in my opinion, is Skubal. He's the X factor. He's the Jason DeGrom when he's healthy type guy. It's just, you've got the aces. You know, you've got the Garrett Coles of the world for the Yankees. You've got a Michael King who's become an ace in San Diego. There's no glass now in with the Dodgers now, so Flaherty's their ace. But you think of all the aces in this postseason, and I think Skubal is the one guy that kind of separates himself is kind of above that top tier. And if you get him to a game five and you get Skubal on the mound, man, then it becomes tough sledding for the Cleveland Indians. I'm still saying Indians for the Guardians. But I think they're going to do everything to avoid that, and I think there's a good chance that Clinton's going to win the next.
Brett Boone on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline Insider Calls, brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solution made for everyday industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. So I want to play out the scenario in the ninth inning. Classe on the bump. He puts a man on first, a man on third. Kerry Carpenter, a lefty, probably one of their more prolific power bats, coming up with two outs. There's been some suggestion, instead of pitching to Carpenter, do you walk him, walk the bases full because you only need one out, and then you have righty-righty with Matt Vierling going against Class A. Do you think it would have made more sense to walk Carpenter to get to Vierling, or do you think that that Vogt made the right decision just letting letting Class A pitch to Carpenter?
Yeah, I think Vogt made the right decision. I mean, you got to consider who's on the mound for you. And we're not talking about a really good closer. We're talking about the best closer in the game of baseball right now. With all the success he's had, you know, sub one ERA for the year, one of the great closer years of all time. You put it in his hands, and he decides. You've got so much trust in him, and that's baseball, and that's why this postseason has been so exciting, and it's a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, that's probably one of the most improbable things. I was sitting there. I was in the Atlanta airport watching that, and that's like the last thing on earth I thought was going to happen, is he's going to hit a home run right there, and they're going to end up winning the game. So, no, I just think that was – it's kind of one of those really awesome moments for the postseason. But no, I got Classe on the mound. I let him handle business, and I don't worry about walking it.
Brett, is it bad for baseball the way that they're doing the Tigers that are? They're doing Scooble, and then every other game is basically just an opener, and no one sees the lineup a second time through. Like, if this works and they go to the World Series and they win it, I have a feeling we might be hitting a point where you just have one ace, maybe two, and then every other game is just an opener. And I don't know that I love that for the sport.
I don't like it, and I think Tampa Bay started that years ago. But they've proven that's not going to work for the long term. I don't think that works. It might work in a game here and there. But if you make that a part of your formula, I don't think that's good, and I don't think it's going to work. The reason I don't think it's going to work is the best pitchers in the world are starting pitchers, okay? And they're starting pitchers for a reason. I think when you hand it over a bullpen and you go, even if you have a really good bullpen, inning here, inning there, bullpen guys tend to do what more? They walk more players. They put more players on base. So I just don't think that's the format. I think you always have to have a starter. I think the great teams, and I think history will prove it out, the teams that have gone to the World Series, won the World Series, always have that real difference maker ace, or maybe two. You know, you go back to my generation, it was Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling in 2001. And they went, you know, they both went on 3 days rest, and they made it a real short series and tough. You know, and not necessarily you have to be the best team, but if you've got a couple aces like that, it really makes a difference. I think pitching and the best pitching in the postseason is always going to trump the best offense or even the best bullpen. Now, in 2024, because of finances in today's game are put in the bullpen, I think bullpens play a more prolific role. But I think over the course of time, I'll take the two aces on a team in the postseason over anything else. Statistic-wise, yeah, a given year here and there, you're going to have a miracle run, an Arizona Diamondback of a year ago. They're two games away from winning the World Series. They by far didn't have the best roster, best pitching staff, but they caught some lightning in a bottle and they made a run and they got close. But I think that's the exception, not the rule. I'll take the aces and go from there, and you take your opener. And over time, I think my aces are going to be your opener.
Brett, looking to the NL, the Padres-Dodgers series, very chippy at 1-1. There was the video of Manny Machado. Did he throw the ball at the Dodgers dugout? Jack Flaherty and Machado having words here. Do you think Machado actually could get suspended for this, or do you think this is much ado about nothing?
I definitely saw it, and everybody's going to have their take. I think Machado, he wasn't throwing the ball at someone to hit them or there's any in his mind, he wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I think he was trying to make a point, like, oh, just a little dig here, like Tatis in the outfield dancing to the crowd. You know, he's just kind of provoking them. there was no real malice there. But at the same time, it's a gesture. I don't think I'd do it. There's always a backstory. There's always a history. I don't know what Robertson Machado's history is. But Flaherty kind of out of nowhere, and once again, I never like to jump on the moment and say, oh, why did he do that? He was wrong. There's always a backstory. You never know what happened. You never know what happened on the way into the ballpark that morning in the tunnel. You know, something that we don't know about could have happened. To see Flaherty punch him out and to have that type of reaction, there had to be a little bit of a backstory there. Why would you do that? Machado didn't look at him. Machado didn't do anything wrong in that situation for Flaherty to have that type of reaction. So I think coupled with that and the emotion of the game and the fans in L.A. getting involved, I think Machado at the time was, oh, I'm going to give you a little dig right here because of how I feel you've been treating me right here. So I think it was just a knee-jerk reaction. But today's game, that's what we've become. I mean, years ago, Griffey did that commercial, said, let the kids play. Okay, it's not like my generation. I don't like all the things that go on, but I've also learned as an ex-player and now analyst that it's not my game anymore. This is their game. History will judge each and every one of our generations. But when you start saying, hey, there's no unwritten rules in baseball anymore, and you're going to play the game, hey, the rails, you come off the rails sometimes. So as much as baseball wants this kid-like and fun and everybody celebrating everything, well, there's a price to be paid, because if you let it go too far, there's really no guardrails to keep everybody in check.
Brett, great stuff, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week, but we appreciate your time, sir. Get some rest.
Yeah, I got a feeling. I think Cleveland's still going to be standing in a week, so I'll see you guys next week.
I love that energy. Brett Boone there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Sometimes we get it right. I tried the Daniel Boone thing. I don't think we got that right.
What did we get wrong?
No. I think we tried, but it was like, I think we just kind of came to, well, I'm not going to fact check it because it sounds pretty cool. So I'm just going to go with what other people say.
I think we thought it was way cooler than he did.
I think you're 100% right.
I think he was very unimpressed with his own history.
You, sir, are the great, great, great something of one of the founders of this country. And he's like, maybe, maybe not.
He's like, we never really looked into it. I don't know if I really wanted to look into it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you know how long I would spend on history websites if I found, like, if I had a fraction of that type of history, I'd be all over it. I might start a museum.
Do you know how much I'd flex in other people's faces? Like, I'm sorry. Was your great 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 grandfather in the Revolutionary War? Get lost.
Take a hike. I founded this country.
Yeah. What have you done? Two losses, two completely different takeaways. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.